Praise the Lord. Morning, everyone. Good to be back with you again. And trust the Lord. We bless the service this morning. You just speak to our hearts today. Amen. Praise God. Let only for just while we're standing, shall we just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we once again appreciate this opportunity of coming into the house of the Lord. To be able to sing the songs of Zion, to worship you, Lord, to give you praise for your goodness, Lord, and for your faithfulness, Lord, and for all that you've done for us, Lord. And we just thank you for this great salvation, Lord. We realize, Father, as we spoke last night, Lord, that it was totally out of our hands, Lord. It had to be the work of another, Lord. And we just so thank you, Lord, that you gave yourself for us, Lord, that we might stand in you, Lord, complete and righteous and perfect. And Lord, this morning we come, Lord, knowing that in ourselves we are weak, Lord, in ourselves we do not have what it takes. But Father, we're looking to you, Lord, that said you'd supply the needs that we would have need of, Father God, that you give us to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Amen. And so, Father, we do pray for your strength today. We do pray for your presence. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit, Lord, would just have the preeminence in this service, Lord, with the speaker, Lord, and with the hearers, Father. Let there be just such an anointing, such an atmosphere, Father, that the Holy Ghost would just be pleased to dwell among us, Father, and just to move amongst us, Father. Lord, heal the sick. Set the captives free. Break every chain, Lord Jesus. And that as we go from this place, we will know, Lord, that it was good that we should have been here, Father. Lord, we just call you now upon the scene, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will not be forgetful or negligent to give you all the glory. We ask these things in and through your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. I'd like to take a little text this morning from the book of Joshua. We were speaking last night from taking a text from Chronicles there and speaking how that God has to show us our own heart, that in ourselves we don't have what it takes, but really, we don't need to have what it takes because it was all done for us, and we need to be able to draw on the supply and the provision that has been made for us and given to us. And we can only draw on that and take from that. There's only one way we can do that, and that is by the way of faith. Praise the Lord. And so God just wants us to be a believing people. You know, we're just talking about this in the car coming along. We try and get everything just figured out and worked out and get all the everything just set right, and sometimes we just miss the very thing which is essential.
Right.
And that's faith. You see, God can do something with faith.
Amen.
He can perfect anything in us if we believe Him, if we put our trust in Him. Praise the Lord. So we want to be able to do that today. And by the help of God, we want to speak this morning, like I said, from the book of Joshua. And I'm going to speak today on a subject I felt the Lord gave to me a few weeks ago. And like I mentioned last night, I've been preaching it wherever I've been going now. And I'd like to bring it here this morning. I just believe it's a word from the Lord.
Amen.
I guess any message a preacher gets, or he should get, it should be a word from the Lord. But I just felt somehow that this was impressed upon me by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So by the help of the Lord, I'll be able to bring it to you this morning, and it would just be a help to you. Praise God. And like I say, I'm not preaching at you today. I'm just bringing something with you. The Lord's been dealing with me, showing me and speaking to me. And I'd just like to share it with the church today. Amen. Praise God. So Joshua chapter 6. And we'll begin reading at verse 1. It's a subject called Breaking Down the Walls. Of course, we're reading a familiar scripture from Joshua. It's to do with the walls of Jericho. But it's amazing to me that no matter how many times you read in the Word of God, and you read these stories, and we're all familiar with it, I guess, but the Holy Spirit can always bring something new and fresh from the Word of God. You know, it never gets stagnant or stale. God can always show us something new from the Word of God, from the Scriptures. Praise God. So let's begin at verse 1 of Joshua chapter 6. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. before there was ever a blow struck, before any war took place, Jericho, the people of Jericho were already delivered into the hands of Joshua and the children of Israel. It was a given victory. Praise God. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. And thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And on the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless his word. Please take your seat. Amen. Praise God. So, breaking down the walls. That scripture, that reading, that text gives us a good lesson there to show us that victories are won by purely, naturally speaking, foolish means. I mean, it would seem a crazy thing for God to tell a bunch of people to march around a city, and then on the 6th day march around it to shout with a great shout, and the walls are going to be broken down. But it lets us know that when we enter that place, when we enter Canaan, of course, being a type of the heavenlies that is to you and me. What Canaan was in the natural to Israel is a type of the heavenlies to the Christian or the believer today, the heavenlies to believers. And it shows us that we must follow God's instructions.
Amen.
We must do what God says do, and do it how he says do it. Man is always trying to find some other means of doing God's work for him. Now we might, for instance, God might call a man to preach, raise him up, anoint him with the Holy Ghost to go out and preach the message. And that man might not be a great speaker or be able to be very good at putting things across. But if he's anointed to do it, then that's the vessel that God is using. So many times today people come along and think that people might have natural attributes to be able to do the work of God. Well, natural attributes are fine, but really it doesn't get done by natural means.
Amen.
It's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Like we mentioned last night talking about Moses there. He had all the natural attributes, all the qualities that, humanly speaking, that were necessary to do the work of God, to go and deliver the children of Israel, but he failed. God had to get into a place where he was out of the way, and God said, "Now I can come down and do the work." Praise the Lord. So it's showing us here, right from the beginning, of course, that God's work must be done by God's provided way and through the channels which God is choosing to do the work for.
Amen.
Nobody has a right to come along and say, "You know what, this person can put it across better, he can explain it better, he could do a much better job of it." Well, probably naturally speaking he could, but God might have someone else for the purpose.
Amen.
Again, I'll refer back to last night's message. We were talking, Peter looked there, right in the conception of the church at the beginning there, they wanted to pick somebody else to come into the ministry to replace Judas, and naturally speaking Matthias fit the bill perfectly. He had all the qualities and qualifications that were necessary to do that work, but God's choice was Paul. So we must follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. If those church ages teach you and me anything, or they ought to show us this one thing, that once you get away from the Holy Ghost, once you move away from the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the church is doomed to failure.
Amen.
It cannot stand and it cannot do the work of God. It must come back. And we're being called back today to the Spirit of God having complete and absolute control. Now, many times we say those things, but it's a sad thing to reflect on, but it's very often not the case. But when we come back to God's provided way of doing anything, then we are going to see victories. See, what God said in his word, he means. What God has promised in his word, he means. It must come to pass, and if it's not coming to pass, then we need to go back and check ourselves out. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Well, let's lay a little background to this before we get into the subject of breaking down these walls. You know, Jesus, when he died on the cross, almost the last words he cried and spoke from the cross were, "It is finished." Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. It is finished. Now, he never said it's almost finished. Great. He never said it's possible it could be finished, or it will be finished in 2,000 years' time. On the cross, the work of redemption was finished. Hallelujah. You know, as Christians, we really need to get that understanding deep down into our hearts that it's a finished work. When we're preaching the gospel, we are preaching a finished work.
Amen.
The gospel is not some kind of a process now. It is a finished work.
Amen.
When we make it a process, then we are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we are preaching in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are declaring, we are to the people, but we're also declaring to the heaven. You see, Jesus, what about the dying on the cross there? He just thought that. Why did he speak it out? Why did he declare it out there? It's because he is declaring to those principalities and powers.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
You see, those people around the cross, that group around the cross, but it was more than that. He was declaring that word to those principalities and powers. He was speaking to a spiritual screen and declaring to those powers, declaring to those principalities that that work of redemption is a finished work.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Now, don't get the work of redemption and the plan of redemption mixed up. The work of redemption is a finished work. It finished 2,000 years ago. You hear Brother Branham in those prayer lines there, he says, "No, I can't heal you, he's already done that."
Yeah.
"I can't save you, he's already done that."
Yeah.
You see, he's not talking about some kind of a process. He's pointing the people to a finished work. Now, if we're ever going to get anywhere with God, if we're ever going to receive a healing, if we're ever going to receive deliverance, if we're seeking for the Holy Ghost, if we're ever going to receive the Holy Ghost, you must come on the basis of a finished work.
Amen.
On the day of Pentecost, those people said, "What must we do to be saved?" The requirement was repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance and baptism are acts of faith. That you are identifying, or you are being identified with and in a finished work.
Amen.
So, and when we meet God's requirements, God is absolutely obligated to give you or me that which we are desiring. If we approach God the correct way, like we spoke last night about those sacrifices, it wasn't about the people that were bringing the sacrifice, it wasn't about the offering now, it was about the sacrifice. The sacrifice there. When God saw that sacrifice, he accepted it. And he accepts you and me today in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So we don't need to get, we should never get the work of redemption confused. And that's the problem today with so many people. They're getting the work of redemption confused with the plan of redemption. As I say, the work of redemption is a finished work. The plan of redemption is ongoing. And it will be until the whole thing gets wound up right at the end of it and so forth. But the work of redemption is something different, and it's something that was already done.
Amen.
It's a finished work. Praise the Lord. I want to read some scriptures today just to lay a little bit of a background in. And I want you to go with me firstly over into the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5, we mentioned this last night. And we'll just mention it again. We'll look at that scripture. We'll just look at it and read it now. Go to Revelation chapter 5 and look at verse 8. Amen. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 5. And this is something that we've read about, we've heard about many, many times. We've read the seals or heard the seals preached. Of course, this chapter, verse of scripture or scripture is read out to us, and we've been through it many, many times. But there's something interesting here as we look in these couple of verses, beginning at verse 8. "And when he'd taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." Watch verse 9. "And they sung a new song." I like that. The Bible says they sung a new song. The word there for new in the Greek is fresh.
Amen.
It's something that's fresh. It's something that's new. Now, what are they singing about? Now, here's the Lamb stepping forth to take the book to open the seals. But they're not singing about the seals now. They're singing about something else. Let's read on. They sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." Amen. Notice, hast redeemed, past tense. Amen. Now before that Lamb ever comes forth and takes that book and breaks those seals, praise God, before he ever comes and opens the seals or breaks the seals, the work of redemption has been finished. It's already, you see, we are not saved on how much revelation we've got. We're not saved on how much understanding of the Word of God. You hear people preach today, "Oh, you need a revelation of the seventh seal." That doesn't have one thing to do with salvation. Salvation is a finished work before that book was even taken. Before those seals were even loosed, the Bible says, "Thou hast redeemed us by thy blood." Hallelujah. Amen. Praise be to God. You see, you know what the brother I'm going to say? He said the whole plan of redemption is laying under those seals. But we're not saved by the plan of redemption. You're saved by the work of redemption. Hallelujah. The plan of redemption just showed you how it was done.
Yes.
It'll help you, can help you stand. But that's not what's saving you. It's the work of redemption that saves you. And the work of redemption is through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. The work of redemption is through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So they're singing a new song. Not an old song now.
Lord.
Not a song that they sang when they just became Christians now. But that it's still a new song. And when you're singing about the blood, it should still be new.
Amen.
It should still be fresh.
Amen.
It should still be powerful. Because the life's in the blood. The power's in the blood. Everything is coming through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. So they sang a new song. "For thou was slain and hast," hallelujah, past tense, "redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." No matter who you are, no matter where you came from, you came by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. "And hast made," again, past tense.
Yes.
It's the work of redemption, is a finished work. "Hast made us unto our God kings and priests." We're not being made kings and priests. We are kings and priests. Hallelujah. You see your position in Christ. It's not something you attain to. It's not some place you get to. It's somewhere where He's already placed you. And what we need today, and what we need to understand as Christians, and as the children of God, is to understand what has been done.
Amen.
Not what is going to be done, what has already been done for you and what has already been done for me. Praise the Lord. "Thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign." Notice, we shall reign.
Amen.
That's future tense. Well, that's the plan of redemption.
Yes.
Still unfolding. But the work of redemption, hallelujah,
yes,
is a finished work.
Glory.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
Now I'm laying this in for a foundation to get to my subject in a few moments' time. But I also want to read some other scriptures. Now notice, on the cross, all of God's requirements were met. Everything that God required concerning His law, concerning His holiness, concerning His righteousness, was met at the cross. Everything that God was looking for and needed was met at the cross. So God's requirements were met at that cross. Man's needs were supplied at the cross. Everything that you need, whether it's a physical need, whether it's a spiritual need, it doesn't matter what it is, was met and supplied for at the cross. There was nothing left undone. You see, it's not the cross plus something else. It's not Calvary. I know, but that's okay. That's fine. But you need something else. No, everything you're ever going to need was supplied, and every need you're ever going to have came by the way of the cross. This is why Paul said the preaching of the cross. Hallelujah! The preaching of the cross is the power of God unto us which are saved. Now, here's that great apostle had all these revelations, all these visions. For God dealt with them in such a mighty way, but could still preach and could still talk about the preaching of the cross being the power of the God to us which are saved. Praise the Lord. So everything that we are needing now, God supplied through by the way of the cross. You know, it's an amazing thing. When God ever saves anyone, where's the first place He takes them? Is to the cross. The Holy Ghost will not point you to a church. The Holy Ghost will not point you to a certain group. It will not point you to a ministry, no matter how great that ministry is. The Holy Ghost will always point you to the cross. Hallelujah. It'll always take you to Calvary. Praise the Lord. Why? Because back there, that work was a finished work. Nowhere outside of Calvary was anything ever finished. Nowhere outside of Calvary was anything ever supplied. It all come through the cross.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God's requirements were met. Man's needs were supplied. And here it is. Satan's power. Or Satan was destroyed at
Amen.
The cross.
Amen.
Amen. Now watch this. Satan was destroyed. His power. Now we might not think that. And sometimes we might not feel it. But according to the word of God. And we're going to just read a few scriptures in a moment. According to the word of God, Satan's power was destroyed.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I want you to look at a scripture. Let's go into Hebrews chapter 2. Let's read these scriptures just to get a little bit of a background now. And just to show you and to prove these things by the scripture. Now, a preacher can make those statements. And it might be true or it might be false. But if we can go to the word of God and see that God's word... See, if we spend time as Christians... If we spend time in God's Word, there wouldn't be so much of the problems that we have today. The problem is so many people, they take what the preacher said, or my pastor said, and so forth. Or the prophet. It's not what anyone else said, it's what God's Word says. And as a Christian, you have a right and an obligation to go to God's Word and see what His Word says about it. If you can see it in the Word of God, then you can stand on that. I can't stand on what a man says. I can't stand on what a priest... But I can stand on what God's Word says. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2, firstly. Chapter 2, verse 14. And we notice here in Scripture, read, it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death..."
Yes.
Here it is, through death. It's the cross again.
Yes.
"Through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil."
Yeah.
Now that's not my opinion. That's no one else's opinion. That's what God's Word declares.
Amen.
The Scripture clearly tells us that Satan was destroyed at the cross.
Amen.
Praise God. Go also with me to 1 John chapter 3. And notice first, 1 John chapter 3 and look at verse 8. "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil." Hallelujah. So we read just there in Hebrews that the devil was destroyed. Now we read over here in John that the works of the devil were destroyed. Praise the Lord. Now the devil's got many, many works. He's got many, many channels of coming against you and me. But the Bible says that his works were destroyed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Go also into Colossians. And I guess there's many other scriptures we could refer to, but this will just be enough for us to look at to get the idea of what we're talking about. The Bible says, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, "Who hath delivered?"
Amen.
Notice "hath" again, past tense.
Yes.
Not "is delivering us" or "is going to deliver us." "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness."
Yes.
How many people believe darkness? There's a power that goes with darkness.
Yes.
How many people know that there is a power in that darkness? But the Bible said He has delivered us. Hallelujah.
Yes.
He has delivered us from the power of darkness. "And has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Praise God.
Amen.
Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. Let's read verse 14 and 15. "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross." Now that's powerful stuff, friends.
Yes, it is.
Praise the Lord. That's powerful. What that's telling you is He took the law that was condemning you and nailed it to His cross. He took it out of the way. So as a Christian, as a child of God, you are no longer under the dominion and the control of the law. It has no more authority over you. It has no more power over you because you are in Christ, and that law nailed Him to the cross, but it didn't keep Him there. Hallelujah. The third day He rose again, victorious over death, hell and the grave. That's why Paul spoke in Romans chapter 6, "Sin shall not have dominion over you."
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. So looking at those scriptures, then we can get a pretty good idea there, and it tells us there and showing us that Satan was defeated.
Amen.
Now his great trick today is to get you and me to believe that he's not defeated. But if we go to the Word of God, we can see clearly, according to what God's Word said,
yes,
that he is defeated.
Yes.
Because this work of redemption, hallelujah, is a finished work.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But now, you say, what's that got to do with breaking down walls? Well, let's get into the subject. Praise the Lord. Now, how is it, after reading those scriptures and proving quite clearly from the Word of God that he's a defeated enemy,
amen,
he's beaten, he's whipped, how is it then that there is so much defeat in the church?
Amen.
How is it today that there is so much defeat? If we're honest about it, friend,
amen.
You know, if we're honest about it, how is it that there is so much defeat in the church? How is it so many times when the enemy is commanded to leave, does he just stay there? We've all seen it, if we're honest about it. You know, how is it then that the enemy, after being rebuked, very often, does nothing seem to change? We've just preached about a God that destroyed him at the cross.
Amen.
We've just preached about a power that stripped him of his power. In fact, going back to Colossians, the Bible said that when he defeated him there, he made an open show of him. In other words, he stripped him of his power and completely displayed him. You see, Calvary is the defeat of Satan.
Amen.
It declares the defeat,
amen,
of Satan. So how is it, and there is so much defeat in the church? How is it, and there is so much, the enemy just seems to have so much ground in so many people's lives, in homes, in churches, or wherever we look, it just seems to be that the enemy is running rampant. How could that be if he's a defeated enemy? Well, to me, there is only three things it can be. And you can take liberty about this. And the first thing is, we can discount this one straight away, but let's just mention it anyway. Firstly, it could be that this Bible is not worth the paper it's written on. That what it says in this book isn't true anyway. That what we're preaching about is just a fantasy, it's a fable, it doesn't really work. Now, I guess not any of us believe that. I'm speaking to Christians today. I certainly don't believe that.
Amen.
This Bible's true. I believe what God says in his Word to be the truth.
Amen.
So we can discount that idea straight away. Secondly, and this is possible, I guess, it could be that when we see things happening and we just don't seem to get the victory there, and the enemy just seems to be out in the field day in our lives or in our homes or whatever, even in our bodies there, it could possibly be, and this is possible, it could be that God's allowing these things, like he allowed with Job there, for you and me to go through a trial. God may be allowing it for you and me to go through a test. And God might be just allowing those things to do something in our lives to bring us more and more into his image. Now that's possible. But thirdly, and here's the one that's surreal, to me, kind of hits home. And if you don't agree with it, just tell me to duck. Praise the Lord. But I just believe that possible, that the problem could just be with us. Maybe there's a problem. Maybe the enemy's got ground in our life. Maybe he's got ground in your life and in my life. Remember, I want you to understand, church, I'm not preaching at you today. I'm sharing something with you from the Word of God, which affects us all. So I'm not setting myself up to be exempt from these things. I'm just as much subject to it as every one of us here this morning.
Amen.
But you see, it's just possible the problem could be with us. Praise the Lord.
Yes,
so now let's just think about what we just read a few moments ago in the book of Joshua. God had brought Israel out of the promised land. Out of Egypt there, to bring them over into the promised land. And God had sent that prophet Moses there with that great commission there, telling them to go down, do the miracles, do the signs and do the wonders. And that God was going to bring the people out of Egypt and into the promised land. You see, God doesn't just bring you out to leave you. God brings you out to bring you in. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God didn't save you to lose you.
Amen.
When God saved you, he did it to keep you. Praise,
amen,
the Lord.
Amen.
He brought you out of the world to bring you over into that promised land.
Amen.
Or what we call in the New Testament, because if you look and read the book of Ephesians there, is a type of what Ephesians in the New Testament is a type of what Joshua is in the Old Testament. What the children of Israel possessed in the natural, We possess, or we are partakers of, in the spiritual. The Bible said He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where?
Amen.
In the heavenlies. That's the type of what Canaan was to the Israel back there in the Old Testament. Now the Bible says He's blessed us in that place. We're not just over in that place. The Scripture said He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. And so Israel came out of Egypt there with a purpose in mind. You see, God sent Moses there with a purpose in mind. Not just to bring them out of Egypt from the control and the dominion of Pharaoh and the Egyptian taskmasters and so forth and the persecutions. But He's bringing them out to bring them in.
Amen.
He brought you out to bring you in.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's why when a person repents of his sins and is baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture said God is obligated absolutely to give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God doesn't expect you to stand on your own two feet in your own strength in this walk. That's why He sent the Holy Ghost. Because God knows that we are totally helpless. We are totally incapable. But God said, I'm going to send you another comforter. Hallelujah. I'm going to send you another comforter. Praise be to God. So God's not requiring you and me to make it on our own. He sent the Holy Ghost to do that. Hallelujah. To take us over and put us over into that promise. So Israel are out on the journey there, and they come to a place where after a while, and of course it took 40 years, purely and simply because of what? Because of unbelief. Like I said last night, the only way that what God is looking for in your life and what God is looking for in my life is that we believe God.
Amen.
Praise for the Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. It's full of examples. It's full of exhortation. Showing us one thing. That all God's looking for is somebody somewhere to believe Him. Praise the Lord. You know, it would be a hard thing in the last days. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, shall He find faith? God has always looked for faith. In the Old Testament, He looked for faith and found it in men like Noah and men like Abraham and the prophets and so forth. When He walked upon this earth in the person of Jesus Christ, He found faith, but He didn't find it in the synagogue. He didn't find it amongst the people that studied the Word of God, knew there was a promise coming. All He found was criticism. All He found was a lot of just tradition and ritual and everything else. But He found faith in the most unlikely place. But when He found it, He could go to work. Now that same God that was above us, that was with us, dwells amongst us today in the form of the Holy Ghost. If you look for faith in the Old Testament, if you look for faith in the New Testament, then that same God is looking for faith today. And when He finds it, He can go to work. Now faith can only come by one channel and by one means. It's by hearing the Word of God.
Amen.
This is why today Satan is perverting the Word of God. This is why today there has been an onslaught, a complete outpouring of false teaching, of false doctrine. Why? What is that to do? That is to destroy the foundation of faith. But if we can ever come back to that pure foundation of faith upon the simple Word of God, then God can do something. Hallelujah. That's all that God's looking for. That's what, you know, the Bible tells us Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Well, what was it that raptured Enoch? Was his faith. Well, if God raptured Enoch, and of course Enoch being a type of the seventh from Adam, being a type of the seventh church age that takes the rapture, if God raptured Enoch on the basis of his faith, then He's got to rapture you and me on that same basis. There can be no other channel, there can be no other means of going in a rapture, there can be no other means of being caught away outside of the provision of faith. You see why the great attack is upon the Word of God today. See why there's a moving away from the truth. This is why God today is calling His church back to the truth. Back to the absolute of what is written. That's why I said we read those scriptures a few moments ago. We must go to what God said. Not what a preacher's telling us, but what it says in the Word of God. If we can see it from the Word of God, you can place your faith in it. You cannot place your faith in something somebody's saying or somebody's idea about it, but you can place your faith in what God clearly and absolutely says in His Word. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So Israel come up there, and they're taken over by Joshua into the promised land. Amen. Now what's the first obstacle? Now here's the subject, here's the point. What's the first obstacle that Israel come up against? You say it was the people of Jericho. No. The first obstacle that Israel faced, the first opposition that Israel came against, were the walls of Jericho. God's instructions to Joshua was not how to defeat the people of Jericho. We just read there in the scriptures that the people of Jericho were already defeated. We read there, didn't God say, see, I've already given Jericho the king into your hand. I've given you the mighty men of valor. They were already delivered into Joshua's hand. That wasn't the issue. That wasn't the problem. God's instructions to Joshua now was how to bring down those walls. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, where are the walls, church? They're not in the wilderness. They weren't in the wilderness journey. They're right over in the promised land. They're right over there in Canaan. Yes. Now, before Joshua can ever get any victory, he's got to bring down those walls.
Amen.
Now, hear it. Until those walls come down, that enemy, don't matter how defeated he is, doesn't matter how beaten he is, until those walls come down, that enemy's going nowhere. He's staying right there. You know, walls, walls, in a sense, are not a bad thing. God raised up Nehemiah to send him back to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem.
Yes.
But they can be a bad thing. They can be a good thing, but they can also be a bad thing. As in the case of Jericho. So the people of Jericho, no matter how defeated they were, the scripture tells us they were afraid. They shut themselves in there. Sealed themselves behind those doors. Now I'm getting to my point in a minute. Shut themselves in there, built that wall and hid behind it. Now as long as they were behind those walls, those people were protected. That enemy was protected. No matter how much victory God had given to Joshua, no matter how much he delivered those people into his hands, as long as those walls remained there, those people were safe. See, those walls were protecting the enemy. So God's instructions to Joshua now is how to bring down the walls.
Amen.
And like I said just a few moments ago, God was telling him, you've got to do it the way God said do it. Those walls are not coming down any other way than by God's provided way of bringing those walls down.
Amen.
God said, you do it the way I say do it, Joshua. Those walls are coming. As soon as those walls came down, hallelujah. As soon as those walls came down, praise God, the enemy was beaten.
Right.
It was over. It was finished. But as long as those walls remained there, that enemy was safe. He wasn't going anywhere. So God's showing Joshua how to bring down. Now he's already in the promised land, but there are walls that need to come down. He's already over in the land of promise, but the walls have got to be broken down. So God's instructions, God's directions, God's commandments to Joshua is how to bring down those walls. That's exactly the same way as it is with you and me today, church.
Amen.
We can have the Holy Ghost. We can be over that land of promise. And like I say, but why so much defeat? Why is it that when we rebuke the enemy, does the enemy just seem to... nothing seems to happen. He doesn't seem to go anywhere. Here's the problem. Walls. Walls. Who builds those walls? Not the enemy. You and me. We're the ones that build those walls and we hide behind them.
Yes.
And we hide behind those walls. Now, a wall can be absolutely anything. You can make a wall out of your family. You can make a wall out of your husband. You can make a wall out of your wife. You can make a wall out of your church. You can make a wall out of money. You can make a wall out of a message. You can make a wall out of a prophet. You can make a wall out of a doctrine. You can make a wall out of a ministry. But until those walls come down, that enemy will stay there. When people preach and say the devil's got no rights, they are correct. He has no rights. He was defeated at the cross. But we build him a wall. And he hides behind that wall. But when that wall comes down, that enemy has got to go. He's got to go. But if you allow that wall to be there, I know people today with walls that they've built in their lives for years and years and years. Walls of unforgiveness. Walls of bitterness. Walls of resentment. Walls of guilt. And they rebuke, they can shout and scream at the devil until the cows come home. It's not going to make one bit of difference until you bring those walls down. But when those walls are brought down through confession, through repentance, and they're put in the blood of Jesus Christ, that enemy, he can't stand there. We know the story, Brother Lamb told us about a Sunday school teacher there that had been prayed for time and time again and just couldn't get any better. Then the Holy Ghost came down and revealed what the problem was. You see, there was a wall there. And that wall needed to come down. But until those walls come down, that enemy is staying right there. Once those walls are down, he's got to go. But Christians, as Christians, we're good. Where do we build those walls? Not in the wilderness. We build them over in the promised land. Where were the great walled cities? Where were the great... They were over there in the promised land. Here's what needs to be dealt with. See, once those walls are dealt with, the enemy has... there's no way he can stand there. He's got to go. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But we are... Now you see, like I mentioned a moment ago, the devil didn't build the wall. We did. You know, the devil's got no power to do nothing. But he knows that you and me, being sons of God and being daughters of God, we have a power. You know, each one of us here is like, we're the creators. Because we're made in the image of God. And we can build. Now we can build positively, but we can also build negatively. Do you understand what I'm saying to you this morning? We can build negatively. So the devil comes along, lays a little seed that, you know, a lie is only as strong as you want to make it. I can give you the biggest lie there is, but you're the one that gives the lie its power. You can either accept it, or you can say, I don't believe that. I reject it.
Amen.
But you're the one. Because you're right now in this service today, something's happening.
Amen.
We're creating something. Now we're either creating an atmosphere to welcome the Holy Spirit, or we're building a wall and saying, I don't believe that.
Amen.
I want to stay behind that wall.
Amen.
I've got a wall. My wall is justifiable. I've got a wall of bitterness. I've got a wall of resentment. I've got a wall of forgiveness. I can justify it. You might be able to justify it, but as long as you keep that wall there, the devil's going to stay right there with you.
Amen.
He's not going anywhere. You can get people to preach. You can get people to scream, cry over you, pour oil over you. That once, if that wall's still there, that devil's staying there. But when the walls come down,
Amen.
Then he's got to go. See, church, that's the thing today. We're so good at hiding behind these walls. We've got real nice, good, righteous, holy walls today. We call it truth. We call it a message.
Amen.
We call it a prophet.
Yep.
We call it a revelation.
Amen.
But it's a wall.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
And it needs to come down. Because we need to see victory in our life.
Yes.
We need to see overcoming in our homes. We need to see overcoming in our church. In our own personal walk with God. Like I said to you last night there, I'd like to see a few more victories being won. I'd like to see a few more battles being won against this enemy, because the Bible says he's blessed us with all, if we're blessed with all spiritual blessings,
yes.
How is it the devil staying there?
Mm-hmm.
How is it there's no victory in many cases? How is it there's no overcoming? Now it's not comfortable to preach this and it's not comfortable to hear it, but I believe with all my heart it's the truth.
Yes.
And until those walls come down, we're going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. You say, what kind of wall? What's the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart about? What's God putting his finger on in your life and showing you? That's a wall. It needs to come down. You know, even after that great victory there, after they followed the commandments of God, it wasn't too long after a man by the name of Achan.
Yes.
Built himself into the wall. Right after that great victory, and seeing what God had done, and the deliverance God had given. Now remember, God had told them, don't you take any of that Babylonian gold or any of the spoils of Babylon. But you see, there's just some people can't just listen to what God says. There's some people got a better way of doing it. So Achan thought, you know, it's not going to be a problem. I'll just lift a little bit of Babylonian gold and a little bit of that old Babylonian garment. I'll take it and I'll put it over in my tent. Now he didn't just put it in his tent, he buried it in his tent. You know, the Bible says that if this earthly tabernacle or tent house. So Achan there took his little tent, his tent house, and buried his gold, buried his garment in that tent house. Now, to look at that tent, everything looked right. His tent was just the same as everyone else's tent. Outwardly looking, there was nothing wrong with it. But what was buried on the inside of it? You see, I preached a message once, what's in the tent? Because that's what's going to determine what happens next.
Amen.
It's what's in, not what the tent looks like. We get so taken up with what everything
Amen.
Looks like now, but it's what's inside the tent.
Amen.
It's what's inside the tent.
Correct.
So he built, you see, Achan did the very thing God had showed them. This is what you need to do to get the victory, is to bring those walls down. The very next battle they face, here's a man building a wall. Now his wall was made out of a little bit of Babylonian gold, a little bit of Babylonian stone, but it was a wall. And when he built that wall, the enemy could come behind it. And the next battle they went into, they lost the fight. And until that wall was broken down,
Amen.
Until that wall came down, there was going to be no more victory. No matter what God had said in His Word, the Scripture, God told Joshua, no man's going to stand before you all the days of your life. I'm going to give you the victory over your enemies there. But that was conditional. But as soon as He built a wall, you see what it is, church, when we build those walls, no matter what God says in His Word, we can talk about a defeated enemy. But if there's a wall there, that enemy, no matter how defeated he is, he's staying there. We've got to bring down that wall. We've got to bring down those. Once those walls come down, the enemy's defeated. Yeah. Praise be to God. So he built himself a wall. You know, it's amazing. Religion looks at the tent, but the Word of God sees what's inside the tent.
Yeah.
And you'll never get any victory until you deal with what's inside the tent. No matter what it looks like on the outside. No matter what it looks like, didn't Jesus rebuke those Pharisees and religious leaders in his day? Woe to you, scribes, and woe to you, Pharisees. You may clean the outside of the cup, but the inside. The inside is full of filthiness, is full of wickedness, is full of hypocrisy, full of extortion, full of sin. So until we deal with what's inside that tent, we're not going anywhere. Praise the Lord. I want you to go with me, please, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8. Won't keep you too long today. Ezekiel, chapter 8. Let's begin reading at verse 1. And it came to pass in the sixth year and the sixth month and the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. And then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire from the appearance of his loins even downward fire, and from his loins even upward as the appearance of the brightness of the colour of amber. And he put forth the form of a hand and took me by a lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy which provoketh to jealousy. This is interesting. This vision, of course, is retrospective. Ezekiel was already in captivity there with the people and so forth, but God in the Spirit took the prophet back to Jerusalem.
Yes.
For the prophet to go and show the people the reason why they were in captivity.
Yes.
And if you notice now watch, the Spirit of God takes the prophet right now. It doesn't take him back to the palace. It doesn't take him back to the government. It takes the prophet back to the temple. You see, you'll never deal with anything until you deal with the cause of the problem.
Yeah,
now I'm talking to you this morning about bringing down those walls. Now, you see, we can deal with absolutely everything but until you deal with the real problem there, nothing's going to happen. But the Spirit of God takes the prophet right back to the temple. You see, the Spirit will always take you to the root of the problem. The Holy Ghost will always go to the root cause of the problem. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is why today Satan doesn't want preachers in the pulpit that are anointed with the Holy Ghost. You can have lecturers, you can have celebrity preachers, you can have people that can get up there and explain it so perfectly, but keep that anointing out of the pulpit. Keep the Holy Ghost out of the church, because the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, will always go to the root of the problem.
Amen.
That's why Christ was hated. That's why those prophets were hidden in the Old Testament. Why? Because the Spirit of God in those men went to the problem. That's why Jesus could look beyond the outward show of the Pharisees and see all the regalia and all their outward appearance there and say, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Because the Spirit of God saw past that. That's why Stephen, when he preached that day and over in the book of Acts there, could go right behind all that to the problem. You know, when the Word of God is preached, it'll produce a reaction.
Amen.
I think it was Smith Wigglesworth that said that he'll either make me mad or glad.
Amen.
But it'll do something.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You cannot sit under the preaching of the gospel if it's by the Holy Ghost and sit there indifferently. It'll either convict you one way or the other. That's exactly what it did with Stephen. As soon as he preached his gospel, his message there, those people, the Bible said they got angry, they got mad, they stoned him.
Amen.
But the Word of God will always go to the root cause of the problem.
Yes.
And here now, here's the Spirit of God taking the prophet back to show the people that were in captivity there, this is the reason you're in captivity. You see, you've always got to go right down to the root cause. Now, it's no good dealing with the symptoms. Until you deal with the cause, the symptoms will keep repeating themselves. You've got to deal with the cause.
Amen.
When you deal with the cause, the symptoms will take care of themselves. That's why a man must be born again of the Spirit of God. Because man is a sinner and he needs a new nature. And the only way a new nature can come is through the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So God must deal with the root cause of the problem. So the Spirit of God here takes the prophet back to the temple. Because here was the problem. Here was the very point that had caused Israel to go into captivity. Let's read on. And the Bible talks about that image of jealousy. Verse 4, "And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up now thine eyes the way toward the north. And so I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north. And behold, northward at the gate," watch, "at the gate of the altar," this image of jealousy in the entry. Amen. Now this image of jealousy, scholars really don't know what it was. There's ideas it could have been an image of Baal or an image of Astaroth or some other kind of a deity of the day. But nobody really knows. And that in itself is interesting. Because it could be absolutely anything. It could be something in your life. It could be something in my life. But notice where it's put. The Bible tells us it was put at the entry. So now in the temple, and also in the tabernacle of the Old Testament, when the people came to worship God and approach the temple, or approach the tabernacle, the first thing that they would come to would be the altar. The brazen altar. It's a perfect type of the cross. See, when a person approaches to God, the first thing that we should come to is the cross.
Amen.
But now, man, what man had done, in his rebellion and in his sin, he placed something there in front of that altar. So when the people approached to serve God and to worship God, the first thing that they would have seen, the first thing they would have had to come to, would have been this image of jealousy. You place anything in front of the cross of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I don't care what it is. Whether it can be a message, it can be a prophet, it can be a... It doesn't matter what it is. You place anything in front of the cross, it is an image of jealousy.
Amen.
It is something that will cause God to leave His sanctuary. Because the Bible said God will not share His glory with another.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And when we come to God, God, the first place God is going to bring you, the first place God is going to bring me, is to the cross.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But man, I placed something else there, and he's still doing it today. He's still doing it today. You don't need me to elaborate the fact, but we know that's the truth. He's still doing that very same thing today, that when we come to God, it's no longer about the cross. People are not pointed to the cross anymore. People are not pointed to the blood of Jesus anymore. They're pointed to everything else but. They're pointed to a church. They're pointed to a ministry. They're pointed to anything but the blood of Jesus Christ. Anything but the cross. But deliverance comes through the cross. The power comes through the cross. Salvation comes through the cross.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, the devil just knows where to put that image of jealousy.
Yes.
The devil just knows where to place it. Now, he didn't place it at the back of the tabernacle. He didn't place it at the back of the temple there. He placed it right at the door. Amen. So before you ever got into the temple, you came to this image of jealousy. Right at the entry. You know, God knows, the enemy knows just exactly where to put his stumbling blocks, church.
Yes.
The enemy knows exactly.
Amen.
Like I was speaking to you about the children of Israel going over into that promised land. He knows exactly where to put those walls. He knows exactly where to build those walls. But God knows how to bring them down.
Amen.
And if we'll follow God's commandments, if we'll humble ourselves to what the Spirit is saying, and what the Spirit is... As soon as we obey the commandments of God and follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, those walls have got to come down. That's the truth. That enemy cannot stand there. He should have no ground in your life. He should have no hold in your life. He should have no hold in my life. You know, we need to get before God and say, Lord, I want you to show me something. Lord, if I build a wall, if there's a wall in my life, I don't care what that wall is, I want you to show me, Lord. And we should be honest enough with God. We should be honest enough with God to say, Lord, I want to bring that wall down. Because when that wall comes down, that enemy that's been dominating and controlling you, it's not just, you see, it doesn't just always affect you, it can affect the rest of the people around you. like it did with Israel. They can their own. You see, his sin caused many people to fall, caused many people to fail. Praise the Lord. Verse 6. He said, let's read on. Furthermore, he said unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committed here, that I should go far from my sanctuary? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. Now here's one thing. Whenever you see something placed in front of the cross, whenever you see something placed in front of that altar, you're going to find greater abominations. As you go on, it's going to get worse, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. The abominations are going to get greater and greater and greater. Now outwardly, the temple just looked fine. But watch, verse 7 tells us, and he brought me to a door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Whenever you find something in place of that altar, whenever you find that image of jealousy, something that has been risen up, put forth, then you're going to find a wall. There's going to be a wall. And inside that wall, there's going to be all manner of abomination. There is going to be all manner of perversion. There is going to be all manner of wickedness. So God takes the prophet. Behold, I looked, and a hole in the wall. And he said unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. You see, it was out of sight. It was behind the scenes. It was behind that wall.
Yes.
So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing, an abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jezaniah the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. And then he said unto me, Son of man, see what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery, or in his mind, his imagination. See, behind this wall there was all manner of sin. There was all manner of idolatry. How can there be any victory? How can the only place Israel could have gone is in captivity. You say, well, that don't apply to us today, brother. We're under grace. Well, that's true. But we still build walls. We still build walls. And no matter how much you've been delivered, if there's a wall there,
yes,
that enemy's staying there.
Amen.
Those walls have got to come down. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. For they say, the Lord seeth us not. You know, the eyes of the Lord search everywhere.
Amen.
The Spirit of God goes right down.
Amen.
Like I spoke about the Spirit of God, it'll always take you to the root cause of the problem. If you've got something in your life that is reoccurring and you just don't seem to be able to get the victory over it, it just keeps happening and happening and happening. Let me tell you something, there just might be a wall there. There just might be a wall there. And you need to bring it before God and put it in the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to put it right. And when it's right, your enemy goes. Amen. Let's close on reading just another scripture. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 13. Let's just quickly go through it. Chapter 13, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. How much of that have we got today? People prophesying out of their own hearts, out of their own imagination, out of their own thoughts, out of their own enthusiasm. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing.
Yes.
What a perfect picture of today, friends. Following their own... You know, it's amazing. The human spirit can just get worked up on an emotion. Brother Brown talked about that. Thinking they've got the word of the Lord. Thinking they've got a revelation. Thinking they've got something from God. And it's nothing. There's nothing to it. Like the story of the king in his suit of clothes there. And the boy said, he's naked. He's got no clothes on. There's nothing to it. And there's a lot of religion like that today. There's a lot of so-called truth like that today. There's nothing to it. But everybody gets worked up over it and say, oh, praise God, it's wonderful, we've got a revelation. But you ask them to explain it to you, they can't do it. You ask them to say, oh, but brother, you need a revelation. You need your eyes up. Well, that's fine, but you've got to show somebody something. It's got to come from the Bible.
Yes.
Any truth, you know, Brother Adam said that, any revelation is going to tie in with this revelation.
Yes.
Somebody tells you they've got a revelation, friends, they've got to be able to show you from the Scripture.
Amen.
They've got to be able to go to the Word of God. Now, you might not be able to see it, that's possible, but it's still got to be in the Word of God.
Amen.
Not the revelation that you need a revelation to get a revelation. You know?
Amen.
But it's got to be shown from the Bible. It's got to have a solid foundation. And so much of what we're seeing today, so much of what we're hearing today, doesn't have a solid foundation of the Word of God. He said, your prophets are like foxes, just scavengers looking for some kind of carcass they can feed on. They see nothing. They're foxes in the desert. Now watch, verse 5, you've not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge of the house of Israel to stand in the day of the Lord. Now if they were true prophets, that is exactly what they would have done.
Amen.
If they were prophets of God, and the word of God was coming to those prophets, they would have gone to make up the gap for the people to stand in the day. Because there's a day coming, friends, when we're going to have to be able to stand against the things that are coming on this earth. But these prophets weren't doing that, so Mark, they were false prophet.
Amen. Amen.
They've not made up the gap. They've not stood in the gap or made up the hedge for the people to stand. See, let's be honest about it. All it was a whole bunch of hype. All just a whole bunch of workup. Just cliche preaching. But nothing to it. Nothing to it. No foundation. No basis in the Word of God. And we have so much of that today. Oh, well, my pastor says he... It's what the Bible says.
Amen.
They have seen vanity and lying divination. Now they were seeing something, the Bible said, but it was vanity. They were seeing lies. See, when you get away from the Word of God, God will allow you to have revelations. He'll allow that enemy to come in and give you a revelation. Then the Bible tells us in Romans, Thessalonians there, that because they received not the love of the truth, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Same lie these boys were believing. The Lord's not sent them. And they made others the hope that they would confirm the word. That's another thing today, friends. So many people going without being sent by God. The greatest, all the enemy's got to do to destroy the church is to get somebody to move outside of God's provided way. Somebody to do something that God didn't want them to do. And the whole thing just messes right up there. It's finished right there and then. They made others to hope that they would confirm the word. We hear the same thing today. Oh, there's a great day coming. There's a one. That's true. But it's coming according to God's word. Have you not seen vain visions? And have you not spoken lying divination? Whereas you say the Lord saith it, albeit the Lord has not spoken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, ye have spoken vanity and seen lies. Therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and the divine lies, and they shall not be in the assembly of my people. Let me tell you something. True prophets are never in groups. They're in ones or twos. But the true prophets, when you see groups of prophets, look out, there's a problem. You're reading the Bible, there's a bunch of prophets, you've got a problem. Like over there, the prophecy of Jehoshaphat, when Jehoshaphat wanted to go with Ahab, I wanted to take land back. There's a bunch of prophets. That should have been the biggest warning sign there was yet. To that righteous king there, that there's something wrong. He knew in his spirit, he knew in himself, something was wrong. Because true prophets are never in groups like that. Neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Because they have seduced my people. What was on these prophets to get the people to believe them? There was a seducing spirit.
Amen.
You see, before you can ever receive false doctrine, before you can ever come under the influence of false teaching, you have got to come under the influence of a seducing spirit. The Bible says seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. But before that doctrine can ever enter you, before that doctrine can ever affect your life, you have got to have been around the effects or the control of a seducing spirit. That's why false prophets and false teachers are very often likable people.
Yes.
There's a spirit on them that is seducing the people. Oh, he's a wonderful man, he's a lovely man, he might be, but that's not what it's about. It's about truth.
Yes, that's right.
So they have a seducing spirit on them. And they were seducing, and the people were coming under the control of this seducing spirit. Now notice, saying peace and there was no peace. That's another thing. When you hear prophets prophesying peace, they're usually false. Now they can prophesy of peace to come, like the prophets did. But when a prophet is on the scene, the very reason the prophet's being there is you've got those problems in the church. There's problems in it. God doesn't send prophets when everything's going well. God sends prophets when everything's going wrong. When there's a problem. So when you hear prophets prophesying of peace, there's a problem. They can prophesy of peace to come, but when they're preaching of judgment, they're warning the people, they're there to call the people back to God. That's why the Bible said, first the apostles, second definitely prophets. You see, the apostles lay that foundation, and the prophets bring people back on the foundation. But on a foundation that is already laid. Prophets don't make new foundations there, they bring the people back to the foundation that was originally laid. Praise the Lord. Amen. See? That's the problem, you see, when a prophet... That's why it can't be anything new outside of the Word of God. Outside of the truth that was originally delivered to the church. The very ministry of a prophet is to bring you back onto that foundation. Amen. And then the Bible goes on to read, says, peace, and there was no peace. And one built up... Here's that wall again. Here's that wall again. Like I say, you can make a wall out of absolutely anything. Here's a bunch of prophets building a wall. Amen. Others daubed it with untempered mortar. What's untempered mortar? It's cement. Cement is being a type of the Holy Ghost that holds the whole thing together. But here they're daubing it with untempered mortar. And they're hiding behind that wall. They've got the word of the Lord. All it was vanity. All it was a lying divination. All it was the imagination of their own hearts. Yes. Not the word of God. Say to them which daub it with untempered mortar that it shall fall. See, it can't stand anything outside of God's way. And God's spirit is coming down. That's what's happening today, church. That's what we're seeing so much. That's why there's so much breakup in the church today. They're on the wrong foundation. They're hiding behind a wall. But that wall's coming down. It's breaking to pieces. Who's breaking it to pieces? Not the enemy. God.
Amen.
And there shall be an overflowing shower, and yea, a great hailstone shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. And lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing?
Where is the daubing?
Isn't that exactly what we're seeing today? Isn't that what we're hearing so much of today? Why?
Because it's built on a wrong foundation. It's got to be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If it's built on any other foundation, like I say, you can make a wall out of absolutely anything. You can make a wall. That's what people have done today. We made a wall out of a message, and we hid behind it.
Yes.
We've hid behind it. God's bringing it down. God's bringing it down. So many walls. But until those walls come down, that enemy's going nowhere. Let's pray, church. Heavenly Father, I ask this day, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for these words which have been spoken this morning would find acceptable ground, Lord. In Jesus' name. But Lord, in this place, Lord, we want to see this enemy defeated. We want to see these walls broken down. Father, we want to just see that, Lord, enemy that seems to have a hold in homes, in lives, in church, wherever, Lord. But Lord, we want to see him driven out. We know he's defeated because the scripture said he was. But Father, we just pray that even as you showed Joshua, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do to bring down those walls. Father, I pray that by the Holy Ghost, even today, that you would show us something. That you would show us, Lord, how to bring down those walls in our lives, I pray. Lord, there may be walls here today. Lord, it's not for me to say, but Lord, the Holy Ghost searches the hearts. And You try the reins, Lord. You search the hearts, Lord. I pray that even this day, that, Lord, you go to the people here this morning and speak to hearts. I pray that, Lord Jesus, if there's someone there, God, they know, Lord Jesus, there's a wall there. There's something there that they've not dealt with. It's not been just brought down, Father. Lord, help them to just be honest before you today. And I pray that, God, you would break down those walls. I pray, God, you would break down every form of opposition, Lord. And that it would just release the flow and the supply of God's Spirit into each life. In Jesus' name. Lord, if we've hid behind a religion, if we've hid behind a message, Lord, help us, Lord, to bring down that wall. Father, in Jesus' name, that your Spirit, your presence, your power can just flow into each life. Grant it, Lord, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's just keep our heads bowed for a few moments. I'll ask you a question this morning. I'm not going to ask you what that wall is, but I want you to be honest with God today. Has God showed you a wall in your life? Has God showed you something that's there that needs to come down? Has God spoken to your heart and said, that's a wall of, you need to deal with that wall? It might be a wall of resentment, it might be a wall of guilt, it might be a wall of unforgiveness, it might be a wall of, it could be any kind of a wall. But if there's something in your life that's keeping back the flow and supply of God and the Spirit of God in your life, I want you to be honest with God this morning. Not with me, just with God. I want to pray with you today. I want you to come. I'm not going to ask you what the problem is. I'm not going to ask you what the issue is. That's between you and God. But I'm going to ask you to walk out here. And I'm going to put my hands on you. And I'm just going to pray a simple prayer. I'm going to ask Jesus Christ to break down that wall that you're putting before Him right now. That you're confessing before Him right now. I'm going to ask God to smash down those bricks to the ground and to allow the Holy Spirit to just flow out into your life, to bring deliverance, to bring healing, to bring victory. Amen. This is required to keep our heads bowed. God's speaking to you today. I want you to get out of your seat. I want you to come forward for prayer. Amen. Just be honest with God, church. If there's something there, be honest with Him. If there's nothing there, well, that's fine, that's okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe the musicians could lead us in just a chorus of worship. And amen. Praise the Lord. That's not the main voice of the church, it's the dream of the Lord, but I'm just going to ask God to break down that wall. And I really want to pray. It's going to happen. I'm going to hold the Holy Ghost to stand between us now. Spirit of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I command that wall to come down. I command those bricks, Lord, those things which are holding a barrier there, to be removed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in thy presence of thy Spirit, anointing that is here now, I command those stones to be broken down in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, Lord Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I command, Lord, that wall. I command that wall in the name of Jesus Christ to be broken down. Lord, in the name of Jesus, that lock, that hindrance, that obstacle, I command, Lord Jesus, I command to leave in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just quietly worship Him. The Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. Just be honest with God this morning. Don't hide behind your wall. It's time for those walls to come down in the church. It's time for those walls to come down in your life, in your home, in your church, in your bodies. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just be open to the Holy Ghost. now, church, come on. Let the Holy Spirit search your heart. If He's speaking to you today, won't you be big enough to just follow the leadings of the Holy Spirit? I just pray that, Lord, if I can get this little message into your hands, Father, that, Lord, your word will not return back void nor empty, Lord, in Jesus' name. But that, Lord, it will bring forth, Lord, that which you intend for it to bring forth. Grant it, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you, friends. Amen. Just give a